You can't have a complete conversation about cotton without talking about Memphis. Front Street in the city was known for more than a century as Cotton Row and served as the heart of the Memphis economy and the soul of the American cotton trade. At one time, Memphis was the largest inland cotton market in the world. That history is preserved and celebrated at the Cotton Museum in Memphis. Anna Mullins is the executive director of the Cotton Museum and is with me on the phone from Memphis. Anna, welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, the museum doesn't just have exhibits and artifacts. In fact, your main hall is a three-dimensional important part of the cotton history, isn't it?
That's correct. So we are located in the Memphis Cotton Exchange Building, which is at the kind of famous corner of Union and Front Street in downtown Memphis. And the first floor of the building is the museum. And the bulk of the museum is housed on the original trading floor of the Cotton Exchange. So that's the room where, really up until the museum was opened, it was closed to the public, and only members of the Cotton Exchange were allowed on the floor. And until the 1980s is where they gathered to monitor commodity prices and actually trade the cotton that was coming through Memphis.
And it changed because, for one reason, because of computers?
Exactly. It used to be that all cotton was traded on exchanges like ours, and now all of the cotton is obviously traded online, so it's really, anyone can go and trade cotton nowadays. As it's not an exclusive club, and not most of the cotton now is traded on the futures market.
You have photographs, of course, of what the exchange floor looked like. I'm imagining a very busy, very loud sort of place.
Absolutely, the Cotton Exchange building and the trade floor in particular was obviously sort of the epicenter of the commerce that was going on here on Cotton Row. But it was also, in many ways, a social meeting place, and it was where all of the Cotton Exchange members and everyone that was tangentially related to the cotton industry, people who classed cotton, people who traded cotton, people who insured cotton, people who shipped cotton, it sort of acted as their clubhouse, and they were here drinking and playing games and making deals. There's a lot of great stories from old cotton traders about different organizations that were in the building. At one point on the top floor, there was a private club where lots of funny stories about boys being boys. You hear those a lot. So, yeah, you'll see a lot of photos of, obviously the busyness of the business that was going on in the actual room, but also you'll see a lot of people sitting around and obviously socializing.
Power, drink. This seems like the epitome of what we call in the South the good old boys club.
The Cotton Exchange was, for a very long time, a male-only organization, which is interesting. A lot of our photos of the museum are the ones that we have highlighted in the museum now are taken in 1939. So all the trade floor has been restored to that era, and the numbers on the trade board reflect that period. But the photographer who was taking the photos was a woman, and she was in the space. And you can see, just from the looks on some of their faces, their opinion on that.
When you think about it, the cotton fields and cotton, not just about the economy, but when you think about American popular music, there's such a direct connection because so many people who worked in the cotton plant, either sharecroppers or slaves, created music. And this is where, as other museums in Memphis detail, white people and black people came together, and country music and the blues and different forms of music, rock and roll, came out of the cotton fields.
Absolutely. One thing that we've tried to do in the museum, we have a few special exhibits on the blues, on barbecue and these different traditions that came out of the cotton fields directly. And the innovations and changes in the cotton industry are really what moved a lot of those rural people, the sharecroppers and their families, into an urban setting, into Memphis, which was the closest big city. So you'll see after the development of the harvesting equipment, the harvester, which was a huge shift in the industry, the need for large amounts of human labor went away. So all of the sharecroppers that were living in the Mississippi Delta were out of work. So they moved, and you can kind of see, I find it really interesting that you can see these traditions in Memphis, obviously, which was often the first stop where people would settle, or they'd continue on north, and you see the same traditions of the blues and barbecue and jazz in the city of Memphis and St. Louis and Kansas City and in Chicago. So there's sort of a direct line north of, you know, where these people were migrating. It was called the Great Migration, as it's been dubbed now by historians. So that's one thing that we really focus on in the museum, is talking about, you know, the culture that people identify as Memphis culture is very much that rural Mississippi Delta culture that came out of the cotton fields and was a product of first slavery and then the conditions of sharecropping. And that is detailed here at the museum, and obviously we try to tie that to the narrative to other local museums and organizations that are kind of continuing to build that story.
Certainly in the first half of the 19th century, the story of, and earlier, the story of cotton is intertwined with slavery. I'm sure that's a part of the museum as well.
You, of course, can't talk about the cotton industry in the American South without talking about slavery. And really how, you know, obviously the cotton plant wasn't just grown here in the Mid-South. It was grown all across the southern United States, still is. But at the time of our nation's founding and in the early parts of the nation's history, cotton was still the cash crop. It was the crop that brought in the most money. It was had a huge demand for cotton worldwide. So, you know, the development of the slave trade was really in direct relation to the needs of the cotton industry. So the relationship between Memphis and Liverpool and, you know, moving, you know, taking, having boats coming from here back full of cotton and then come back to the United States full of slaves. So that was really, you know, there's a lot of historical retrospective you know, opinions about, you know, how prominent would slavery have been, and, you know, how long would it have persisted in this country if it hadn't been for the demands of the cotton industry. It's such a, was such a labor-intensive crop that, you know, they really, the plantations that were here could not have existed without it. So, you know, it's an interesting way to look back at American history and see, you know, what could have been if it weren't for this plant.
Of course, when people go to museums, they want to know if they've got young people with them, if there are hands-on activities. You do have those, don't you?
Absolutely. In fact, we were very fortunate in 2009, we opened, we expanded and opened an educational wing that is specifically targeted to our younger visitors. It's a little more focused on the modern or the contemporary cotton industry. So it talks about the innovations in technology that went into the industry, tracing everything from, again, the developments in mechanization to the developments of in pest control, biotechnology, and even the innovations in the actual fabrics and fibers that go on. So that side of the museum is a little less focused on the economics and the history of Memphis and more broadly approaching the cotton industry and the science and agricultural side of it. So that is certainly much more hands-on. We have lots of interactive exhibits for kids to touch and feel, not just cotton and the plant, but yarn and the different stages of cotton, to interact with looms and spinning equipment, as well as, you know, old field artifacts from cotton bags and hand trucks and things like that.
The Cotton Museum is open Monday through Saturday from 10 until 5. Sunday afternoons from noon until 5. You can learn more at memphiscottonmuseum.org. Also a great picture at the website of Johnny Cash and June Carter at one of the cotton festivals in Memphis. Anna Mullins is the executive director of the Cotton Museum at the Memphis Cotton Exchange. Anna, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
I never picked cotton like my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young working in a coal mine when I was just a baby, too little for the cotton sack I played in.